How many of you can remember from our prayer and fasting that we did last year, how many of you can remember some of the prophetic words that we got? Put your hand up and wave to me if you can remember them. This is not a test. There's not a pass, fail. I just wanted to know how were you doing. Because frankly, if I'd asked, I'd be putting my hand and saying, oh, well, I think it was sort of like this. There was one from Deuteronomy. There was sort of something. We got a song. Oh, I know the song. You know, that's how it began. What I want to do this morning is just remind us of what the Lord has said to us out of that prayer and fasting that we did last year. And by the way, while we're at it, I would really like us to do another one. Probably in March, but we might state, you know, I'd really, really like us to do another one. I think it was a watershed moment for us as a church, and things began to happen in many people's lives. And I think it would be good to follow it and do another one because it's breakthrough year this year, I believe. And so I want to read these words to you and then quickly refer to something that happened to us when, or something that they said to us when we were up at the Glasgow Prophets. All right, from the promise, that there's two scriptures. Now, these scriptures and the song summed up a lot of things that people were saying. Remember when we did it, we had the Facebook page and people threw in bits, I feel the Lord saying like this. And so many things just linked together, and I think they're summed up in these scriptures. So here's the one from Isaiah 43:16-21. Remember not the former things, nor consider things of old. Behold, I'm doing a new thing, now it springs forth, do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Isn't that cool? Well, I think it's kind of really cool. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I form for myself, that they might declare my praise. That is such a good word. That is such a good word. Remember not the former things. Don't dwell on the past. Oh, remember when such and such a thing happened. Remember when the church was blah, 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 blah. Fine, it was a great time. Don't dwell on those things. That in the past, God's wanting to do something new. God's always moving forward. God is always looking forward and with us now. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? You know, since we prayed, and it was just lovely to hear Julie share all those miracles and those answers to prayer that we'd had. You know, it's easy to forget these things. But to be reminded, you know, God, yeah, that's right, God did do that. We got a new car. I mean, that's just outrageous, absolutely outrageous. And, you know, all these other things and miracles and healings. This is going to increase. I really believe it's going to increase. So it was good to hear. He makes a way. And you know, as I said before, there were many of us that had these incredible encounters with the Lord that just were stunning, absolutely stunning. I've longed to see these kind of encounters with God happen since we've been here. I've waited 5 years for these things to happen, and they've begun to happen. And I'm, you know, we're looking forward to more, expecting more. Wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches. Yeah, that's, to me, that speaks of, and this was said to us at the prophetic thing. It says to us that you know, the wild beast, jackals, it's kind of, we want to stay away from that stuff. But actually, this speaks to me, you know, it's going to be the people that other people discount, that people put aside. People don't count as, oh, you're nothing, you're no good. We want this people, we want that kind of people. This is what we're after. No, Jesus is after everyone. And it's the people who are ignored and the people who are not put down, but who are sidelined from people's opinions and thoughts and views. Oh, you're a nothing to me. But nobody's a nothing to Jesus. And it's the ones who are not much in the eyes of the world that Jesus takes and makes them something powerful in his own kingdom. And this is good. And I really believe this will be and has started to be our inheritance in this place. That the people who the world counts as nothing are going to become someone huge. You with me? That's what I think that scripture means to me. And they prophesied that over us, that this is what your church is going to be like. Because you've already seen people who are, you know, on the sideline begin to stand up in the things that I have them. My phone's gone. Come on. Oh, no, there it is. Got it back. Terrible with this electronic stuff. If something goes wrong, like, what do I do now? And there are people formed, in my form for myself, they might declare my praise. It is just such a good word. And that's summed up. Next one. This one was Deuteronomy 8. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains and springs, flowing out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, and a land of olive trees and honey, and a land which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and out of those hills you can dig copper. You shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God and the good land he has given you. Well, I don't know if that's just the promise of abundance. That's the promise that we will be fruitful in all that we do. Whatever we set our hand to do is going to be fruitful. Whatever kingdom work we do, he will bless it. It's going to be fruitful. Yes? There I see that. And then there was the song. You may not. There is a cloud. Hear the word roaring as thunder. You know the song? Hear the word roaring as thunder with a new future to tell. I'm not going to sing it all. For the dry season is over. There is a cloud beginning to swell. To the skies heavy with blessing, lift your eyes, offer your heart. Jesus Christ opened the heavens. Now we receive the Spirit of God. We receive your rain. We receive your rain. Every seed buried in sorrow, you will call forth in its time. You are Lord, Lord of the harvest, calling our hope now to arise. Oh! Amen? Come on. Come on. This is our word. This is a promise that God has given us. Don't forget this. I just was so encouraged by what Judy was saying. Let's declare these things. Don't forget these words. Jacob, I've got them. You know, I put them in my, I haven't been great with them of late, getting them out. And, you know, I've just got to remind ourselves of what God has said and stand upon them and declare them and say, God, this is what you're doing. I can't see all the evidence that's happening yet. I can see bits of things you're doing in my own life, and my life has changed. I know that people's lives are being blessed and increased. But greater things are coming. Really, really believe that. Greater things are coming. We went up to the Glasgow prophets, as we told, I think as Sabina said, and they prophesied over us. And it was an amazing time. Have I mentioned anything about this? I think Sabina has, hasn't she? But I was a bit discouraged a couple of days before, because I didn't realize that you could get a leader's appointment and things. And I just did book the first thing I saw. And, you know, I felt like I've stuffed it all up. Oh, mate, you know what Julia said this morning? We think we've made a blunder, but we haven't. I made this big mistake. And, and I was so discouraged for the couple of days before. It's not going to be all that good. It's only going to be the second layer prophets. You know, we're not going to get the big shots. Yeah, bloody, 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 blah. I finally said, it'll just be my first stop of the holiday. We're going on a holiday. Yeah, whatever, Lord, whatever. This lady comes up who starts, and she says, Ian, the Lord wants you to know you are supposed to be here tonight. This is your appointment tonight. And she kept on and on about this. And I'm thinking, okay, thank you. You know, it was like, you think you blundered, but I'm bigger than you are, boy. I can do what I want to do. And it was awesome. It was awesome. So there's lots of cool things that came out in that passage. One was a reminder. She, guess what scripture she said? She said, from the moment you guys came in, and she didn't say this until about halfway through. We got about 25, 30 minutes of prophetic word. It was awesome. It's about halfway through, or maybe even further than that. She said, you know, Ian, there's the scripture that's been going through my mind the moment you guys came in. She said, it's your, guess what one it was? What? Arise and shine. For your light has come in the glory. And I'm going, oh my gosh. So I started quoting it with her as she is. And I thought, my gosh, if anyone could have given us a word or given Samson a word, how did she know? She said, right from the beginning, she said, this word kept coming to me all the time. And I thought, what an encouragement. Now, I preached on this word back in May, but I'll just kind of rush through it a bit, try and rush through it a bit. now, because it is such a powerful, powerful word. And the word is simply, as you know, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And Julie has reminded us again this morning that God has given us everything we need. He has. We are the light of the world. Jesus said to you, you are the light of the world. Your light has come. What light? Jesus in us. We all have Jesus in us. We all, if we put our trust in Jesus, surrender, like giving our lives to him, we have him in us. In us. As Julie said, it's irrelevant what we're able to do or not do. I said, it's in the last verse. It's not the size of the deed that we do. It's the size of the light that's in us that makes the difference. You know, a young man brought, you know, a little boy brought 2 loaves and a fish, and Jesus multiplied it. Not much of an offering. It's not the size of the deed or the gift that's in us. It's the power of the light that's in us that makes all the difference. And our light has come. Our light, your light, my light is here now for us. And he says, get up and shine it. Arise, don't sit back. Stand up and shine. We'll get onto that in a minute. Yes. And the glory of the Lord is upon you. What? The glory of the Lord is upon me? What does that mean? It is so huge. I've tried to answer this question. I've got to read this. I think it's just too big for me to grasp. But whatever Jesus carried and wherever he went, stuff happened. Why? Because his kingdom went with him. And the glory is the manifestation of the God's presence and his kingdom everywhere we go. And we can't see that often. We have to just believe, God, you're with us. You are with us. Your word tells me you're with me. The glory of the Lord is over me, period. Indisputable. Not up for debate. We don't always feel that. I don't always feel that. Not about how we feel. It's about hearing that word and saying, yes, God. And as I said before, that verse is for us today. It is not end times. It is not. It was for the people of Israel, but it was for us today, because the end of 59 is a prophetic statement of Jesus being the one who stands in the gap for us. I will send my servant, and he will stand in the gap. Who's the one that stood in the gap? Jesus. So when he stood in that gap for us, or died on the cross for us, he was in that place for us. That prophetic word became our reality. It's not future, it's now. The language is, of course, geographic, but the reality is the spiritual kingdom of God all around us. And then he says that terrible thing, behold, darkness shall cover the land, and thick darkness the people. Well, that's not rocket science, is it? You know, we only have to read the news or look at the news or whatever to see that we're in a world that is in a mess. It seems to be getting messier in many places. I mean, there are things happening all. But look at what's happening in Europe. Not just look, irrespective of the Brexit deal, stuff is happening in Europe that no one would have thought of 30 years ago happening. A couple of nations going nearly bankrupt. The Eastern European nations are starting to dig their toes and say, we're not having any of the stuff that you're telling us. You what? I mean, I've only noticed it since I've been to Poland. And all those areas over there, they are now starting to say, excuse me, you can't tell us what to do. It's not just here. Europe's in trouble. Sadly. I really believe that. Look at the United States. The huge division. Even in our own nation, we can see people who believe this and people who believe this. And, you know, and it's just... Is this darkness? Yes. Is it thick darkness? Yes. May it get thicker. Should we be worried? Yes, because we care about people. No, because the darkness can't affect us. I really love what Julie said before. We are the people of hope, I don't know if she actually, I don't know if you said those words, but you mentioned hope. You see, in darkness, people live without hope because they can't see anything. They're trying to, it's people trying to sort out the world's problems without God. And we don't live in that realm anymore. You know my other favorite verse? For he has delivered us out of the domain of darkness, transferred us into the kingdom of his son. We were in that darkness. We did used to live in that darkness, even though for some of us who got saved at 3 years old, you know, it was only for a brief moment or whatever. And some don't even remember it, what it was like being unsaved. But that's not the point. We were in that place. We don't live there anymore. We live in the light. We live in the kingdom of light. So we live separate to that and above it. So God says there's darkness coming, and there's darkness, and it's thick darkness. Should we be afraid of it? No, we shouldn't. Because that's the place where Jesus invites us or commands us, or either way, this is where I want you to go and take the light that you are. Go into that darkness. See, it's dark. See, a thick darkness. But you're the light of the world. Go for it. Go for it. That's where I want you to shine. That's where I want you to take that light that's in you and let it shine out and dispel the shadows and drive away the darkness in people's lives. Jesus made the point in Matthew 5, verse 14, I think it is. After he said that you were the light of the world, I just nearly dropped my iPad. No, wrong one. That one. Yes, there we go. You are the light of the world. See, that's how I know we're the light of the world. Your light has come. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. There are two parts to this. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. In those days, most of the cities and the towns were built on a hill. Not all. Some of them were down in deep valley, but it was just mountainous and everything. But in plains area, there are cities that were built on a hill. Why? Because at night, see, when we were traveling up to Nottingham, the other, it was getting dark. And as we got closer to Nottingham, you can see the glow of the light. And you can see, you know this traveling around, like you said, might just difficult here in Britain because there's glow everywhere and there's so many people living here. But we got closer to Nottingham, and you could see on some of the ridges of Nottingham, we see the lights of the town. Now, it's not on a hill per se, but it's that concept that cities on a hill at night can be seen because there's lights on. What's the importance of that? If someone's lost in the darkness, they know where to go. You can get lost in the daytime and not, you might vaguely see the hill, but it doesn't, you think, I think that's the hill over there. But at night, that hill lights up, and you think, that's where we've got to go. And people who are living in the darkness, if they're wanting to get out, they are drawn by that light and they will come to the light. So a city set on a hill, what does Jesus say? Cannot be hidden. Can't, in darkness, you can't hide a city lit up. When it's dark, you put any sort of light on, it lights the place up, doesn't it? What happens when you have a power failure in your house? What's the first thing we try and do? Put some light on. Find a candle. Do something. Why? Because we need it to see. The tragedy is that people are living in the darkness and don't realize it's darkness. I mean, for many, they know there's something missing. I can't, you know, maybe I've got to work hard, maybe I've got to strip, you know. But people don't understand. And when they see a light in darkness and people are looking for a light, they're drawn to it. They're drawn to it. But we have to be shining for it to be seen. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives life to all the house. It's the same concept. In the same way, and here's a slightly different thing, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Now, that's an interesting verse because there's lots of people doing good works, not necessarily Christians. There's some wonderful, wonderful people doing massive work. You know, I've often talked about the people who do run recycled teenagers. They're my heroes, but they don't know the Lord. But they're doing amazing, amazing work. There's lots of people doing that. But are people giving glory to God as a result of what they're doing? I don't know. Are people being drawn to Jesus as a result of what they're doing? It's not so much it's not the deeds. People can do good deeds. It's the light that's in us. Now, there has to be a quality to the deeds that we do. There has to be that something extra about who we are and what we do in those deeds where people look at us and think, oh, my gosh, why are you doing that? And that is a question of saying, show me, tell me why. And it's they give glory to the Father. This question. See, when Sabs and I back in New Zealand used to go to do prison ministry, people who don't live in the light see prisoners as the scum of the earth. And they would look at us and say, why are you wasting your time with the scum of the earth? Why? Because Jesus loves them. Jesus loves them. And people would be amazed and say, why are you doing that? They don't understand. There has to be about the work that we do, even if it's just loving someone, you know, just saying hi to your neighbor, all those kind of things. If the light of Jesus is in us, there will be a quality to it. There's a quality of your life. There's a quality of your life as you live in your neighborhood. In your neighborhood, I'll get to that. That draws people to say, why are you like that? Why do you do that? There has to be a quality to the work that then refers people to the Father. Otherwise, that verse doesn't make sense. For us as believers, the light shines and people see it. They say, what is it about you? And often, if we're walking in I'm racing ahead of myself a bit, we're walking in the presence of the Lord and doing things, it's often timing of doing things that stuns people. You know, you turn up with something for a person, they think, how did you know? We say something to the person, how did you know that? Well, I didn't know that, but you're in the light and being fed from that. Is that making sense? All right. And then the Lord finally says to us, and kings will come to your brightness, or nations and kings to the rising of your dawn. I can't remember the quote exactly. It's something like that, isn't it? Something like that. So the promise is that as you shine in the darkness, there will be people who will come. Nations, we might not see a whole nation come just to us, a little church, but there'll be people of different types, varieties and colors and languages and all that sort of stuff will be drawn to the light because we are the light of the world, because we stand up and shine in the darkness. Yes? Amen. That's how it's designed. That's how it's supposed to work. All right. Just while I catch up with my notes here. Sitting on a hill, I've said that. So what does it mean to be living the life, living light? I see it in three different things. Number one, firstly, that because the light is in us, because Jesus lives in us, and because he is everything to us, because we are like Mary, we are living a surrendered life. Our lives utterly surrendered to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We live a life full of love and joy and peace. The fruit of the Spirit flows in us, lives in us, whether we feel it or not. Love, peace, and joy. It's the first three fruit of the Spirit. It's a work of the Spirit of God in us. That just in our daily life, the daily living of what we're doing, maybe waving to someone or the work we're doing, in our community with people, when we're talking with people, there is love, peace, and joy that flows through us constantly. Constantly, constantly, because the Spirit of God is in us to flow through. He's a river. He flows like a river. He's never static. He doesn't stop. If he gets dammed up, he'll break that dam or pull out. Or if you start building up that dam, make it tougher, he'll just, you want to put that dam there, it's your problem. He doesn't dam himself up in us. He wants to flow through us. He wants to be real. If you like, it sounds funny to talk about the Holy Spirit being released, but he wants to be released through us. He wants to be set free to just do what he wants to do with the giftings and talents that we've got. The second part is the extravagant acts of kindness and love and service. That we actually do things, like I said before, when we're involved in the prison ministry, we are doing things in a way that goes that extra bit or does something that people normally wouldn't do. Why are you doing that? Who gives a rip about that stupid person across the road? They're a pain in the neck to the neighborhood. Why are you caring about them? Well, because you with me? It's extravagant acts of love, extravagant acts of service, sacrificial ones. It's a long time since I've said this, but if our lives are a sacrifice, people will notice. If we're living a sacrificial life, people will notice. That's a scary thought, isn't it? That's a really scary thought. If nobody's noticing what God's doing, if no one's saying, is my life really a sacrifice? Is my life really and truly surrendered to the Lord? Just leave you with that nice, comforting thought to chew over. And then, of course, there's the third thing, is the demonstrations of that kingdom that's in us. You know, the words, the prophetic words, the word of knowledge to a person, or we pray for someone and they get healed. These lovely stories that Jill tells us, the stories that we heard from Julie about the different miracles of healing. It's offering to pray. It's that miraculous demonstration of the kingdom that Jesus did. You know, when it says here, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that people may see your good works and give glory to your Father. That word works there in Matthew is the same word, the very same word that Jesus used when he talks, if you don't believe me, then believe me because of the works that I do. It's the same word. What works? They were miracles, signs, and wonders. It's all through John. The context nearly always is miraculous demonstrations or power demonstrations of the kingdom that Jesus carried with him. That they may see your good works. We are supposed to be walking in the supernatural. It is unnatural for Christians not to be walking in them. You know, we need to think about this. If we are Christians, if we are filled with the Spirit of God, if the light of Jesus in us, there ought to be those signs and miracles. I've shared my testimony before. It was the fourth thing that I was looking for in Christians. Remember, I read the Gospels and read the amazing things that he did, and I came to these conclusions about people who followed Jesus. They must be full of love, joy, and peace. I wasn't brought up in a church. I was a pagan. I was outside, but I was hungry for God for some reason. And at one point, I began to read the Gospels and decided that whoever it was, and I was taken with this Jesus. Whoever followed him must be full of love, joy, and peace. And they had miracles happening around them. Because he did. And that's what drew me to him. Because I believed in a God who created the universe. I don't know where I got that from, but I just believed it. And if God could create this massive universe, then miracles were just a yawn to him. Do that. This is a pagan. This is a non-Christian that I believed this stuff. I did, honestly. But the trick was, how did I get that power of God working for me? Well, you know, and I read the life of Jesus and I thought, you have got God working for you or in you somehow. And so I was fascinated with the man and read a lot about him. It took a few years before I actually met him. What's my point? It is unnatural for us Christians to not experience and expect miracles and the demonstration of God's power around us. That is scary, but I think it's true. And it bothers me myself. I think I should be seeing more. Scary thought, isn't it? But it is unnatural for us. It should be. One of the things that my favorite preacher says is that you know when you're transformed when the supernatural becomes natural. You know your life has changed. You know you're really stepping into the things of the kingdom when the supernatural is just, oh, well, he's another one. Oh, good, he's another one. When it becomes natural, it doesn't say, oh, I've got to work this up. I've got to somehow get it happening. And, oh, I just feel kind of strange doing this. No, it just becomes natural. That's when we know we're transformed. I'm kind of there, not quite. I wish I was there fully. Every time I go somewhere and I see someone, I think, oh, should I pray for them? What are they going to think of me? You know, all that kind of rubbish comes up. Darkness, the words of darkness. The interesting thing about those three things that I've said is that absolutely none of it can be done apart from the Spirit of God. None of it can be done. Love, joy, peace, it's the work of the Spirit. Extravagant acts of kindness, even to love in a sacrificial way, that makes that doesn't make sense to people is a motive, is the work of the Spirit of God in us. It's why people go to other countries. I'm not saying we all have to go up and go to another country and, you know, sell everything and go. Maybe more of us should. I'm not saying we all got to do that. That is a work of the Spirit of God. It's a transformation of the Spirit of God in us because we become a new creature. We think differently to the people of the world. We do not think the way the people of the in the darkness think. We just don't think that way anymore. And when those thoughts from that darkness invade us, we have to have a little warning. No room for you. Enemy coming, kill that thought before it takes root in your brain. That's what we've got to set up in our minds. I think Julie was alluding to those kind of things. It's a work of the Spirit. It is all a work of the Spirit. When Zerubbabel, I think I've got the name right, was building the temple, we had to rebuild the temple. I hope I'm getting this is all in Zechariah, so I might be getting the names right. The Lord says to him, it will not happen. It's not going to be by your might or by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Not by might nor by power. Remember in the Psalms, it comes up a number of times. It says this, the Lord takes no pleasure in the strength of the horse. You know, the army, the most thing that was feared in those days was the cavalry, the guys that charged in with the horses. That was the main weapon that people had, you know, these bigs and they're coming in flat stick, you know. What? How's a foot soldier going to cope with that? But God takes no pleasure in how strong your powerful horses are. You might have the most strong, powerfulest horses in the whole. You might have the greatest jets, the fastest jets, the most powerful, you know, artillery or whatever. God takes no pleasure in it. Nor is he impressed by the muscles on your mightiest warrior. Not impressed with how strong your big warriors are. Not, takes no pleasure in it. Isn't that interesting? Oh, but people of the darkness do. What they're impressed with, God isn't. Too often we are. We're taken up with, oh, look at this man, look at this woman. Oh, she's so, he's can do and blah, 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 blah. God's not impressed with it. These are the ones who I'm impressed with, those who honor me, and those who put their trust in his unfailing love. That's who God honors. That's who God takes pleasure in. That's who God delights over. Those who will honor him, who will give place of honor to the Lord Jesus, for whom we put him as king in our hearts, and that we will trust in his unfailing love. Even if I can't see how it's going to happen, his love won't fail me. That's who he takes pleasure in. That's who he delights over. Above all. Paul said, remember Paul said two things. Paul actually said a lot of stuff. Anyway, two quotes from what Paul said. He said, we live by faith and not by sight. We live by faith in that love. We live by faith in that power to transform, to change, and for him to be there to strengthen us when we need the strength. And for us to enable us to walk into that darkness where it's terrifying, can be fearful because it's dark. But he wants us to go in there and we have trust that he can see us through. Even when we don't understand, he says, don't rely on what you think you know. But trust me and I'll make the path through there straight. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. The only thing that counts, says Paul, is faith expressed through love. The only thing that counts is faith expressed through love. Even in our mundane, everyday lives, that's what counts as far as kingdom stuff. And we are invited, we're more than invited actually, we're probably commanded. There's a darkness there and there are people locked in it. God says, I want to partner with you to set those people free. That's our assignment. We are called as God's people to invade that darkness and shine. And the promise is that kings and kings will come. Again, going back to Mary, I've preached on Mary, her life and her response was just so amazing. Three parts. She came fully surrendered. There was a full surrender of her life. I was going to say something else, but anyway. Complete trust. With that surrender, obviously then complete trust. And a willing obedience. Trust and obey, because there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Who knows that song? You remember that song? Yeah, it's true. It's true. We don't talk much about obedience in our modern Christianity, unfortunately. But it's true. The Lord asks you to do something, I don't want to do that. And someone can be thinking, why in the world do I have to do that? Because he knows two things that you and I don't. One, it'll set that person free. And two, there'll be huge blessing on the other side of it. Huge blessing. Quick story, this is way, way back. I joined an evangelist when I was with the church army. And I was the guitarist singer. And I really wanted to work with this girl. But I wish I'd known more about her before because I had to sing this song, which was a gospel song, a lovely gospel. The content was brilliant, but the music was so lame. And she, I thought, no. She said, Ian, I want you to sing that song. And I'm thinking, I don't want to sing that song. The song's fine, but the music's terrible. You want me to sing it in front of this high schooler, this teenagers, this whole bunch of, we had third form to sixth form. I don't know what it is here, but anyway, that's what they were there. So that's probably 13 to 17-year-olds or something. And I had to sing this song with my guitar, and the music is so lovely, like a little butterfly kind of music. Sing that song. I mean, the content's brilliant, but the music, and I'm standing there, I don't want to do this stupid song. No. They're all going to laugh at me. I know they're going to laugh at me, because I know if I was there, I'd be laughing at them. And of course, do I have to do this, Lord? Yes. So anyway, I got my guitar out and started singing the song. And guess what? They started laughing. And I'm thinking in my brain, I knew this would happen. But I bravely kept on going, thinking, I'm dead. I'm dead. I might as well just pack up and go home after this. And I packed up. Do you know what? At the end of the song, they all clapped. I thought, that's encouraging. But I still got out of there. Do you know when we left the school and I walked up there, I was at another place, it was just sort of about a half mile walk up. When I stepped out of that school ground into the ground, I suddenly, the presence of God around me was incredibly thick. I don't know if I've ever felt it quite the same way since. It was thick. I felt like I could cut it with a knife. It was so thick. Pressed in around me, just pressing, literally pressing in against me. I've never felt the presence of God like that. It's usually kind of his love and his peace and joy. And that was there. But it was this tangible, it was like the atmosphere of his presence pushing in. And it lasted the rest of the afternoon. Wow. See, if we do what we don't want to do, it will bring blessing to the people and it will bring joy to us afterwards. He will honor it. He always does. So, church, we are called to arise and shine. Let me call that verse up. Can we get that verse up? I want to declare it over us. See if I can find it. I did have it up here at one stage. Isaiah, just one moment, hang with me. Isaiah, I hope I've got Isaiah. 60. Boom, got it. Right, I want to declare this over us as a church. So get in receiving declaration mode. Get in faith to receive this, because this is the word of God. It's not the word of Ed Moody, it's the word of God. It is his word to us. So church, people of God, you who love the Lord Jesus, arise and shine, for your light has come. Are you receiving this? Receive it. Open your hearts and receive it. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the people. But The Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you, and nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Hallelujah. Amen.